Breaking news today on Seculo. Did a key Biden administration official commit the crime of treason? We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo.
You have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a military leader, basically ignoring the Constitution, deciding he's going to call a potential adversary and an enemy of the United States and collude with them and tell them, if I'm ever ordered to do something, I'm going to tell you about it first. And also break the chain of command when it comes to the nuclear codes of this country and its control.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
I hope for the sake of our country that this is not true and we'll get a strong denial, because the alternative basically means that we have the person in charge of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is someone who decided that he was more important than the Constitution, more important than the chain of command, that he unilaterally was going to make a determination about colluding with a potential enemy.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So, what are we talking about here? You may have seen this in the news. You heard Senator Rubio talking about it. It's General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The report is that, again, this is back during the Trump administration, a time period before the election day and after the election, and this contact with the head of the People's Liberation Army of the Chinese Communist Party, and these phone calls. So you had them on October 30th. And January 8th, what we're saying is that the discussions, this is in the new Woodward book, that's where this has been reported, comes out next week. No denial at this point from Milley that the way this reported is inaccurate or untrue. Maybe that's coming, but it didn't come immediately. It wasn't a situation where there was immediate denial. But there were these conversations between October 30th, so right before the election, after the election, that he would warn the Chinese military leadership if there was any attack coming on China. Now, the question here is then, when you go to the definitions of laws like treason, one of the key definitions in Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, when you go to that, is you're guilty and suffering treason when you are giving aid and comfort. So yeah. He's not levying war against the United States, but what he is doing is potentially giving aid and comfort to an adversary of the United States, letting them know, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to let you know. Now, he didn't say it wouldn't necessarily not happen. That was an interesting point, too.
Yeah.
It was, if this is going to happen, we're going to let you guys know about it. But I still think this is extremely dangerous. If this had happened under any other administration, he'd already be gone.
Yep. So, of course. So, to reiterate here, General Milley, who, this is what is being reported in the book by the Woodward book that's coming out, and Bob Costas. So, here's what you've got. He actually makes this statement. This is a quote. Now, again, we're basing it off of what's in this book. It says, "You and I have known each other now for 5 years." He's talking to the highest ranking general in the Chinese army. "If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise." Now, I look at that, Colonel Smith, and I say to myself, not following the chain of command, which we'll get into, dereliction of duty. How is this guy the Joint Chief of Staff chairman?
Exactly. He needs to be forced to resign.
And you knew him.
I knew him. I worked with the man. He would never remember me, of course. He is a very much a political animal. A lot of his general colleagues do not respect him because he is so blatantly political. Of course, you don't usually get this kind of job unless you are, to a great extent, political. But he has managed to violate the Constitution, statutory law, the Goldwater Nichols Act and the National Defense Act of 1947. He's violated the Constitution, as I said, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and has totally stepped outside of the military chain of command. If anyone else did this wearing the uniform, at the very least, they would be forced out. They could be court-martialed.
So here's the question, is the accountability factor. This is not like Washington, usually, where this report would come out in a book like this, and a book that isn't released yet, and you'd say, no, that's not accurate, that's not right, this is wrong. We haven't seen that quick move yet by General Milley, but the accountability also is going to be clear on the Biden administration, the Secretary of Defense. We're going to explain all of that, too. The Secretary of Defense, their potential actions here. But when you look at these basic definitions of laws like treason, again, the only punishment for treason is not execution. There are varying levels that you could go through depending on what the situation was like. This certainly sounds like exactly what the founders intended when they talked about giving aid and comfort to an enemy. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Sec Hill. We're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, if you're out watching on a social media, wherever you are, it's Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, or Instagram, Rumble, share this with your friends and family as we continue again. I'd say right off the bat, you know, the big news of this is that there hasn't yet been a denial or correction.
Right.
That might be coming, and it might have to be very careful because these calls might have happened.
And they probably listened to when they did. Generally, these international calls.
There would have been other people on the phone call.
Yes, like, yeah.
Is that just one Chinese?
I used to joke with the president, it's him, me, and 3,000 other people listening in.
But especially if the Joint Chiefs was making a scheduled call.
Yeah.
So, because obviously this is in the book.
But think about this for a moment. He actually, according to the book, again, we're going based on this report, and then the publisher allowed it to go. It says, you and I have known each other now for 5 years. This is to one of the chief generals of the People's Liberation Army, which is the Army of China. And then he says, if we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. Now, could you imagine if a general disagreed with the president during World War II and said, oh, by the way, in Normandy, we'll let the Vichy and the Germans know that we're about to attack. Andy?
Yeah, that would have been an act of treason that would probably...
Because we're in a war then.
We're in a war, and that would have gotten whoever did that shot on the spot and should have been. But that's a good analogy, Jay. You know, we kept D-Day, June 6, 1944, very confidential, and it was not known until the last minute and almost didn't go through. But imagine somebody calling the Nazi high command and saying that we're not going to invade Normandy until we tell you a quote from the book, if this book is correct, if we're going to attack Nazi Germany, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. That would have cost the lives of thousands and thousands of men. And the analogy applies in this case,
yep,
Jay.
It does. Now, it's interesting. A friend of mine just sent me a quote. People are listening. This is on. They're listening online. And by the way, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. But a friend of mine just sent me, this is interesting, that he said, treason is always tough to prove. And I agree. We're not really in that kind of war. We're trying to. But there's Article 19 of the Uniform Code of Military Conduct and Military Justice. And it says, this is what Article 94 says. It's mutiny and sedition. Any person subject to this chapter who, with an intent to usurp or override lawful military authority, refuses, in concert with any other person, to obey orders or otherwise do his duty or creates any violence or disturbance is guilty of mutiny. So it's not just on a ship. Mm-hmm. The same person would be with the intent to cause the overthrow, destruction, or lawful civil authority works with concert with somebody else is guilty of sedition. And then it says fails to do his duty to prevent and suppress a mutiny or sedition. But the first one really seems applicable here, with the intent to usurp or override lawful military authority. One of the things you said, Wes, was that General Milley did not go through the military chain of command. Where would he be gone if he had this concern?
Well, the important thing for people to realize is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not even in the military chain of command. This goes back, and we can talk about a little bit of some of the history of how President Truman reorganized the military, and yep. then President Reagan followed on with some clarification on that. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not in command. The chain of command in the United States military, of course, what distinguishes us from other countries is we have civilian control of the military.
Right.
The president is the commander in chief. Underneath the president, the next person in the chain of command is the Secretary of Defense. The next people under the Secretary of Defense are the combatant commanders around the world. We have 11 combatant commands in the United States military. They're all over the world. Some of them are more well-known than others. Seven of them are geographic areas. Then you have, you know, STRATCOM, the Special Forces Command, what have you. Those commanders are in the chain of command under the Secretary of Defense. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, as well as the other chiefs of staff of the military forces, they are considered senior advisors to the president. They are not in the chain of command. Mm. If he had real concerns, Jay, what he should have done is gone to his Secretary of Defense and said, I have concerns.
So, Than, we got a reaction. Let me play it. Josh Hawley, this is what he said.
There needs to be a full congressional inquiry. And I'm sorry to say, but it is vital now that General Milley, he needs to resign.
So, Than, what is the tenor on this in Washington today?
Yeah, Josh Hawley's comments, Jay, they're starting to echo. I mean, Senator Rubio called for his resignation. There are, I believe, 9 House members that have called for his resignation. Senators like Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which, by the way, is where General Milley is going to testify on September 28th. He has said if this is true, he very likely would need to resign. And, Jay, here's the biggest thing that I'm hearing from these members expressing concern. There's all of the chain of command concerns that Wes is talking about, but then there's also just the sheer danger. I mean, China is an adversary. Of course, they couldn't be given a heads up. But what would you fear if an enemy might be given a heads up that an attack or some other sort of military endeavor was going to happen? Jay, the danger is that they would attack us first preemptively. I mean, think about that for a moment.
And it's the same. This is the same chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who, July 23rd, it's reported he called the Afghan president and said, you know, we need to, quote, work. The media sort of thing is a narrative of Taliban momentum and a narrative of Taliban victory. We need to collectively demonstrate and try to change that perception and narrative around. So it's a leader of the Joint Chiefs, a leader of the military, obsessed with the media narrative. I mean, he's playing. When we first heard that to me was enough back in July when that was reported. So we were probably talking about in August. That was enough for me to say he needs to go. He should not ever be consumed with a media narrative. That's not his role. There's so many people in government handling communications and press.
Right.
You don't need the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff calling a foreign president and talking about a narrative. Hey, it doesn't matter if the Taliban's actually about to take over your house and kill everyone inside. We need a better narrative out there. Why? Who was that going to help if the narrative was a lie, which he acknowledges? The narrative wasn't the facts of the truth on the ground. Who are you assisting at that point? I mean, I get, again, that you want to deceive your enemy. You want to confuse your enemy. At that point, it was done. So what was the purpose of this narrative change? But this is the same guy who then now, it would make sense that he would be the type that would put himself in a role. As Wes said, his chest is all puffed out. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Everyone's bowing down to him in the military rank, which is a much more formal rank than the civilian ranks of leadership, even though he isn't outranking any of those people, including the commander-in-chief, who is a civilian. But that you would make that phone call. I mean, what if you did that about a hack these days? So take out our when Milley talks about this, I think he's probably sophisticated enough to think he's not just talking about like a military engagement of a scale that we think of like dropping bombs. This could be we're going to take out your servers. We're gonna hack your ships that are in the South China Sea. We're gonna make life business. So how you can acknowledge, how you can commit treason these days is different. It is not just the D-Day invasion. It could be electronic warfare that you're warning people of. So it could be as simple as that. It doesn't always have to be boots on the ground,
right?
Aircraft, you know, dropping bombs.
But what's fascinating to me here is that and Andy, I was going to ask you about this too. So you've got the chief of staff of the military, the Joint Chiefs. He is the head guy. He has a concern about the sitting president of the United States. And he's concerned about purportedly, you know, military action the president might take allegedly against China. And he thinks, I mean, just think about this for a moment, folks. He doesn't just think this according to the book. He does this. He picks up the phone, calls the general of the Chinese Communist Party's army, largest standing army in the world, and says, hey, I'm going to give you a heads up if we attack. Now, you talk about violations of customary military law and customary constitutional law. This is very serious. So calling for his resignation, for him, that would be a break, frankly.
Well, I think resignation is not sufficient, but we'll leave it at that. But you say it correctly, and I want to just say what Jordan said. It doesn't have to be as sophisticated as it and today as talking about the D-Day invasion of Normandy. This is a different time, a different era. Things have become more sophisticated nowadays. Things have become things are done in a more polished fashion, so to speak. But to pick up the phone and to call General Li Zhuocheng, who is his counterpart, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the largest army in the world that's standing, and that is the Chinese army, and to say to him, and think about this, if the United States is going to attack, I am going to call you ahead of time and tell you about the United States of America's would-be or putative attack upon you. It's not going to be a surprise. And you tell me that that's not treacherous conduct? You can't convince me of that, Jay.
Yeah, I agree, Jordan. I think Jordan's analysis, the more general analysis, was exactly correct.
And the fact this was happening during election time makes it that much worse because he's undermining a president 2 days before the election, 3 days before the election. So between October, and then we know the chaos that ensued. And the chaos that ensued in the election, not being able to decide the election, not being able to call the election, the challenges to, I mean, this was a chaotic time in the country. And what he was doing was playing up to the Chinese. Surprise, surprise. Because if everything is right about who he is, this political player in the military, this woke general, if you would say, then playing up to the Chinese would make sense for long term for him when he thinks about retiring from the military and sitting on boards of companies. Having a good relationship with the Chinese is perfect. And that's where he is in life. He's right at the edge of switching into civilian life and cashing in. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
the allegation and what what's alleged in the book, and I don't think that's why Bob Woodward wrote it that way. He was writing this narrative, and it was the narrative of don't trust the this was actually an attack on President Trump. It has been backfiring on the left to the point where, you know, they are all questioning. Well, and I understand putting the precursor that if this is true, it's a Bob Woodward book. It's not a we don't have it. Since he's not President Trump, we don't have the transcript of his phone calls yet, or the. But we do have people like Vindman already coming back out and saying, if this was true, he must resign, he must go. So that whole group of the, I just call them the
military left,
faux pious group, or the military left is another good way to say it. But, you know, and again, it's not to degrade military service, but when you get to the level of a political appointees, you're allowed to hold these people accountable. That's, you know, that's why you have civilian leadership. Of the military, this to undermine. If you called any adversarial government as the head of a chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff and said, "By the way, you know, if any attacks come in, I'll let you know." And now let's redefine attack. Let's think past what we know as attack is brick and mortar attack, and let's think digital attack, cyber war, all of these things. Who knows? We honestly don't know. If he was giving him information that was more accurate, maybe there was some kind of attack in place that could have been. We don't know, but the idea is that the Chinese military learned about it from the highest ranking military official in the U.S. They hear about it directly. So aid and comfort. That's about as much aid and comfort you can do as being an individual inside the giant apparatus of the U.S. military is to call your counterpart in the Chinese Communist Party's People Liberation Army and tell them, don't worry, I'll give you a heads up, which would allow them to attack first.
Yeah, so I got a question for you, Wes, and that is procedurally. Mm-hmm. You don't just pick up the phone and call the chief general of the Chinese Communist Party's military.
No.
Right? The Chinese military. So there are other people involved in this.
Absolutely. We have a National Security Council. We have a Secretary of Defense. If you have legitimate concerns, as the book says he did, about President Trump's mental capacity, there is a procedure to deal with that. The Secretary of Defense is actually on the president's cabinet. Go to your superior. If any other officer in the military at any level, Jay, went outside the chain of command like this, they would be court-martialed. Andy's right. Him being allowed to resign would be a break for this man.
I said, I mean, I said the same thing. I mean, this is, I'm not, look, this general, General Milley, for the United States, he's serving as a joint chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I want you to think about what he did. He probably met with people, speculating, his team, said, what do we do here? Well, General, you know, we don't trust the president. So you, the underling to the Secretary of Defense, and certainly to the Commander-in-Chief, which is what the Constitution says the President's role is, of the military, you call the Chinese general in charge of their army, and you say to him, which apparently, or at least it's alleged you did, you and I have known each other for now 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. So what? Let's say if it was a military attack. So they could do what? Shoot down our aircraft? Mm-hmm. Andy?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Really? So, I mean, think about what this guy's proposing, what he said. He should be gone today.
He should be gone instantly, immediately.
If it's true.
And the President of the United States, as the Commander-in-Chief, should relieve him of his duties and his command as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and out of the military at once, which President Biden has the authority to do if he'll do it. I doubt that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask that to Than. You've got, you know, like Jordan said, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman has come out. Do we have that sound? It's a tweet. Okay, let's get the tweet. I mean, Vindman has said it. MSNBC has commentators saying it. What is the sense on Capitol Hill? I know what Marco Rubio has said and some other. Where do you sense it?
Yeah, I mean, we're 13 days away from General Milley appearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. I think the sense is, will he have a job in 13 days? So will somebody else be coming to testify? And I think actually the growing sense, Jay, for a lot of the reasons that you've been talking about, is that he shouldn't have that job, that he should resign, and he maybe should face future consequences. You know, there's the breathtaking violation of the civilian chain of command that Wes has talked about. There's the danger posed to our military that you've talked about. Jay, there's also just the policy question. I mean, President Trump, of all recent presidents, was one of the least inclined to engage us in new military conflict right. around the world. It was consistent with what the American people wanted. And so this alleged concern from General Milley, Jay, not only is it a violation of all those other things that we talked about, it's also not consistent with the policy that President Trump consistently put forward.
Yeah, it's so troubling to me, Jordan, when I think about this, that a sitting general had the audacity and the gumption to make a phone call to our enemy, or at least an adversary, I would say, the Chinese government, to call a general of the Chinese army and say, don't worry, if we attack you, I'm going to give you a warning. I mean, I can't, under whatever circumstance he thought, he had no authority to do this. So it'd be interesting if he came out and said, this isn't true. I didn't make this statement. The problem is, as you alluded to, generally on these calls, there's probably 10 other people. Well, now, I don't know if we could do a Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of Defense.
Well, in Bob Woodward's book, he says that apparently that General Milley was one of his deep background sources. So Woodward had conversations with General Milley. For all we know, he may have even told Woodward about this conversation.
Oh, I'm sure that's where I don't know that for sure.
No,
there's plenty likely. Of inaccuracies in all of these books. So you don't jump to conclusions. Entitled to due process, General Milley. But there should be at least, they should just ask him. Somebody, he likes TV. Mm-hmm. Get him on a TV camera and say, did you say these words or words to this effect? You and I have known each other for now 5 years. If we're going to attack you, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Did you make that phone call to a general in the Chinese military? That is a yes and no question. Yes or no? He says no, and there's no proof. They should still investigate. There's no proof. There's no proof.
And there were situations in Syria where we called the Russians. But they were instructed to do that by our commander in chief
because of deconflicting.
This wasn't behind anybody's back. This was
that was different.
We didn't accidentally start a war directly with Russia
because the Russians were in Syria and we were at the base, and we said Wes, if I'm right, it's deconflict.
Right, exactly. And that's perfectly legitimate. Okay. There is coordination and conversations between military leaders of various countries all the time. You do not promise an adversary that if we're going to attack you, we'll call you first.
But why doesn't someone call him up before the committee? I know he's testifying, and just ask him if it's true.
Well, I actually think this is one of the most telling things, Jay, because we've heard from General Milley a lot over the last few months. He has no problem making his way to a camera. He has no problem making his statements known. This goes back to what Jordan was talking about. The fact that he hasn't said anything, I'm sure he's received the request, Jay, but the fact that he hasn't proactively come out and mounted a defense, I think that's pretty telling, actually.
Yeah, I think, again, this can't wait till the 28th. You know, this kind of allegation that's made, it needs to be answered to by the person who the allegation is made against, so it's General Milley, and usually these would be simple things, but if you were a major source to this book on background, and you told Bob Woodward this, and he took the notes of it, then it's a he said versus he said, it's time to resign. At a minimum, you need to go. You've caused a mess, you've caused a disaster, you've done everything you're not supposed to do as a military leader, by creating news stories about our adversaries and how we're going to interact, and at a minimum, you resign. And I think the calls are starting there to resign. The question, though, is the Biden administration have any interest at all in pulling that lever?
Yeah. We'll talk about when we come back from the break. You would think he has to, if this is true. Anyways, share it with your friends, everybody, on our social media feed. We're going to be back in a moment.
Yep. ACLJ.org. Second half hour is coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Just to reset for everybody, what do we have here? We have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley. We've been very critical of him in Afghanistan. We've been critical of him, how he's talked about, you know, the critical race theory, woke military. He's kind of been the lead on that. And it seems like he talked about with the Afghan president at the time, you know, who cares? It doesn't really matter what's happening on the ground. We need to change the media narrative. This is a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, he's in Bob Woodward's book. And listen, I don't doubt these guys love talking.
Yes.
Because, honestly, these Bob Woodward types make them feel important. And they make them feel like they're these power players that have no authority over them. And you could see how that could feel that way. We elevate that. I mean, the idea of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a big deal in the United States of America. I don't think that's a bad thing, that we have that kind of reverence for our top military leaders. But that doesn't mean they get to break the law or violate the Constitution.
And the chain of command.
And that's exactly what happened. If this is true, all of that happened here, because he called the Chinese, his Chinese counterpart from the People's Liberation Army, on October 30th, before the election in the United States, continued the conversations until January 8th at least. So that means after what happened on January 6th as well.
There are multiple conversations, apparently.
Telling them, I will let you know if we're going to, if the U.S. military is taking any action against China.
Yeah, if we're going to attack you, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Colonel Vindman, famous in the hearings for impeachment, Lieutenant, I never thought I'd be quoting him, but here's what he said in a tweet. If this is true, General Milley must resign. He usurped civilian authority, broke the chain of command, and violated the sacrosanct principle of civilian control of the military. It's an extremely dangerous precedent. You can't simply walk away from that. Now, like I said, I never thought I'd be quoting or agreeing with Colonel Vindman, but I agree with him on this one. And I think, Andy, this is where, I mean, it's not, there are legal methods. Court-martial, he could resign, of course. There's a series of legal matters. If anybody did this under any other circumstance, they'd be asking about, let me ask you this, why isn't to bring up Russia, so now we got China. Let me ask you this one. Why is not the FBI the mothballs out on Bob Mueller, bring him back in and say, bring all these special agents in, the replacement for Strzok and counterintelligence, and go to Milley's office like they went to Flynn's,
yes,
and say, did you say this? Because we think you did. We got a transcript. Yeah. We'll raise
his house.
Not,
wake his wife
that's
up
not going to happen
you.
Because it's not politically expedient for that to happen. It was easy to raid the office of those people and to wake them up in the morning and to do those kinds of things and to bring in, as you say, mothballs. Robert Mueller smelled of mothballs, to bring him in to try to resurrect the situation. But it's not okay to do that to Milley. Milley, who has usurped the chain of command, who has violated the principles of the Constitution of the United States, who has usurped the authority of the commander-in-chief, who, in my view, has given aid and comfort to the enemy. And yes, the Chinese are not just our adversaries, folks. In my opinion, they are our enemies. Who has done this is tantamount to, and I keep going back to history. I'm sorry. I'm a historian, and that's what I do. Franklin D. Roosevelt was president of the United States. We were about to invade Normandy. What if Dwight Eisenhower had said to his counterpart, General von Rundstedt of the Nazi High Command, we're not going to invade on January 6th until I tell you in advance, General von Rundstedt, that it's going to happen, so don't worry about it. It's not going to be a surprise. What if that had happened? Because to me, it is as blatant as that.
And folks, we wanted to reset it for you. It sounds, even in the midst of the chaos of what was ongoing there, this sounds outrageous. But there wasn't the quick denial. There wasn't
been
the
no
quick assertion
right now.
There's been no denial and no that was taken out of context at all. And neither is Bob Woodward, by the way, saying that this is not correct.
Well, I think Woodward, like you said, thought he was doing, you know, putting General Milley in a
Donald
good light.
Trump.
Yeah, well, they hurt the American people, as did the general.
And the U.S. military, yes, which has been hurting.
Where's the FBI
the
investigating
year?
This one?
We'll talk about that. We're probably nowhere to be found.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Time too to think about it like this. If you are a real, just rational thinker, you're Joe Biden and you're now in the White House, you're the most powerful person in the world. The Vittmans of the world, the ways that he's putting out tweets, the Millies of the world, let's take out all the what they could be subject to legally. You have the authority to just get rid of them.
Yes.
Okay. Now you might have a Jim Comey moment because of it.
Right.
That, who knows, the backlash. You have to have a backbone to get rid of these people. But on this level, of going behind your, if you will go behind one president's back, why would you allow that precedent to be set so that if you did get rid of Millie and someone else comes along, oh, then they now feel like there's a precedent where they can act this way, then talk to the media about it and know nothing happens to you. So I think the whole problem is we don't need our military becoming these household names, the leadership.
I think it's true.
Like this. And in the media, we've elevated it too far.
Yes.
They feel like they're in control. It's kind of like when we talk about deep state, we talk about these other intelligence agencies, too much power, too much ability to impact Americans. You know, and now we're seeing it in the military.
But you know what you said was really right. I remember I made the comment when former Admiral Kirby, who was the spokesperson for the Secretary of Defense, he would make these statements on Afghanistan. And I said, these are not confidence builders. But let me tell you what they do have at the Joint Chief of Staff. The Office of Secretary of Defense and Joint Staff Freedom of Information Act Request Service Center. So I have asked our senior counsel, Andy Economo, to work with Ben Sisney and that team to send in a Freedom of Information Act request. And this is what I want to know. This is what's important. We want communications between Milley and the communication staff, General Milley and anybody else. Conversations about this topic that may have gone to the White House. Maybe talk to somebody at the White House, even under Trump. I have no idea. I'd like to know that. I would like to know the communications he had. You said there's an incident, Wes, described in the book. Again, this is based on the book. So this is not in stone. You're presumed innocent here. But in the book, there's a statement.
Yeah, he went down after he made the phone call to his Chinese counterpart, went down to the command center. It's like the Situation Room at the Pentagon. It's staffed 24/7, 365, because it is where it's the brains of our military defense. He went down there because they would be one of the first ones to know if there was going to be some sort of a strike or a nuclear device that's going to be sent over. And he made each of them promise individually, according to the book, that if this is going to happen, if the president plans something, before you act, you will let me know first. And he made each of them, according to the book, promise they would let him know first.
I want to know then also in the Freedom of Information Act request, Andy, about that meeting. who yeah. was there, what they discussed. Is there a transcript?
Yeah. I mean, Jay, again, keep going back to historical precedent. Adolf Hitler made his imperial general staff take oath not to the government of Germany, but to him personally as the Führer. He made personal oaths. This is strikingly similar to that kind of conduct. If, in fact, the book is true, he goes down to 12 generals on the general staff or officers, whatever their rank would be, their officers, and makes them take a personal oath that they will let him know this. These striking examples from history have got to impress us because history repeats itself.
But this is the thing I want. The duplicity of all this is you take General Flynn, who makes a phone call to his counterparts talking about their transitioning of government, and they indict him. And the FBI sent agents over to discuss with him at the White House. I want to see if FBI agents are going to go over to General Milley's office at the Pentagon. Okay? And say, hey, we want to talk to General Milley. You don't need a lawyer. We just have some questions we want to ask you. Did you have a conversation with the general of the Chinese military and tell them, you know, if we're going to attack you, I'm going to give you a heads up because we've known each other. We're good friends. We've known good friends with the Communist Chinese Party. Okay, so that's one. That's a lack of judgment. We've known each other for 5 years, so if we're going to attack, we're going to let you know. And this way, if we do attack, you'll know, so you can shoot down our aircraft and our pilots if they're flying over your government, your country. So, General Milley, did you have that conversation? Was that a conversation you had? Who else was in the room? Who did you talk to? Who else in China did you speak with? Was this one conversation or seven? What took place in the command center? What people were there? What officers? I want to know. We, the American people, need to know this. This is, you know, we said the question, is this treason? The legal definition of treason is a high bar because you've got to be at war with the Chinese. They are certainly our adversaries. Just, I'm not sure it's legally that you're at war. But then, where is Congress, other than a tweet and a statement, I like this, and some Democrats may be speaking out on this. We sure need to find out. But we're going to get on top of this at the ACLJ because this really put all of our national security at risk. And when I start thinking about it, it's outrageous.
Well, and really, Jay, that's one of the reasons I think the Freedom of Information request is a good one, because we know this from repeated lessons across our history. Sometimes the push has to start on the outside to give the backbone to the political branches. And you're right, it's probably going to take calls from Democrats in the Senate to actually move the president to action. Jay, one of the things I think we really need to focus on.
Cynthia on Facebook said, where is the president on this? Has President Biden or the White House stand said anything yet?
Not that I've seen. I haven't seen anything from General Milley. Haven't seen anything from the president. But Jay, just to underscore something that you said, you talked about this period, and we played a video in the break about this too, about this period between the election and the inauguration. We know from the book, at least one of the things that is alleged, is that one of the conversations was on January 8th. Jay, one of the things I think we need to ask in there is all of the communications that happened in that period, because I think it really does suggest that it would have been political in nature. You still have a commander-in-chief. One at a time. Until the inauguration,
that's
Jay,
exactly right.
President Trump was still commander-in-chief.
We have their statement now. They're not denying anything. This is from the Joint Chiefs press spokesperson. Quote, his calls with the Chinese and others in October and January, so they confirmed both of those dates, were in keeping with the duties and responsibilities conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability. Calls were coordinated with interagency. So that means a lot more people knew about this. Like we said, there wasn't one person on the phone call.
Right.
There's probably a lot of Vindmans who are potential to come out and you know, try to raise
the
flag.
We want all of this information. We want all of the interagency information. I'm talking to our legal team right now. Andy's sitting next to me. Ben Sisney's in our studio in our office in Washington. I want to know all of it. We need to know all of it because that's...
No denial.
Not a denial. It's a confirmation.
It's a confirmation.
They say, well, we want to encourage stability. Who gave him the authority to set stability over the commander-in-chief? And I don't care who the commander-in-chief is. Nobody. He did it on his own. And apparently others did it with him. And where is the Federal Bureau of Investigation's counterterrorism unit? Or counterintelligence unit? To find out, hey, why did you have these calls? Well, he was on the calls. Oh, I want to encourage stability in our relationship. First of all, stability in our relationship, I think since COVID, it's not exactly a stable relationship, okay? It's not a war, but, you know,
adversary. I think that the definition, though, if you wanted to actually, if you were going to go forward with this and move this way, there are enough issues with the Chinese on intellectual property theft, currency manipulation, their expansive military operation, of course, COVID, that you could make the case that this was treasonous. I think you could fight that battle. It's again, I don't like using these terms, traitors or treason.
Yep.
But if the entire military top brass is in on this, which is what that statement says, interagency. So you got the entire military is implicated here. Then I think if you're Republican or Democrat, it's time you better say, whoa, if I ever got elected to those positions, like president, which is most of what every senator hopes that they get to be one day. Most won't be, but they do hope that. They see Joe Biden as a great example. You can run three times over many different decades. You may ultimately get there. What you never want, you don't want to get that there. And then behind your back, the whole of military is telling the world what's actually going to happen or what they'll actually do. So you're not actually in charge. The people, and this again, it puts our whole government into question. How many people are involved here? Who are the people that were involved? And the authority to make a call. Listen, no. In that statement, what I read from the U.S. is more of the same. It's just that indignation.
Washington speak.
Well, yes. And if you're going to convey stability to the Chinese, that is the job of Mike Pompeo, who is the Secretary of State.
Exactly,
not
right.
Not a four-star general who's not in the chain of command.
We should ask Secretary Pompeo that this week when he's on air. Because his calls with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with these duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability. Calls were coordinated with interagency per the spokesperson. So what we now need to do, we know what we've got to ask for in the Freedom of Information Act request. So it's going to, but we got to make sure we're specific here and really digging deep. Because you think they're going to try to evade this one? But I'd like to see now what happens because they are not denying it. They're rationalizing it. They're using it. They're coming up with a rationalization.
They're throwing more people.
Of course, more people in it. It's going to be a joint decision when this is all done.
Right. And also they get to play.
Good. So you remove all the joint chiefs if they were all involved with it.
That's what I'd say. The whole, I think there's such failures with many of our apparatuses. It would be better to see new people's faces. These same tired, old faces. And I'm not trying to say mean, but they do seem tired, old, Washington, kind of corruptish. Just doesn't seem like the people you want to be the face of your military, this kind of new age of time, new administrations, whatever. And yet, this is the worst of Washington. That statement, that press statement alone, to me, is why Washington, D.C. infuriates people, regardless if they're right or left or in somewhere in the middle politically, because it's like it doesn't change. And these they're bureaucrats, too. I want to make sure you realize that. Bureaucrats trying to run the U.S. government.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
The phone 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. Mary Ellen's calling from Illinois on line one. Hey, Mary Ellen, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. Great show. I'd like to know what Pelosi knew, because they said in the article that he reassured her. Why did he have to reassure her if there was nothing prior in their discussions? It's like, was she not in collusion? And if so, should she not be censored?
Well, I mean, you raised a great question, and this is why I want this Freedom of Information Act to focus on this series of events and focus on the outreach calls that were made. Maybe it was to the speaker or to Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, or some other people. We need to find all of that out. It'd be great if we could find out what those conversations were. The Joint Chiefs press spokesperson is not denying these calls were made. They're trying to spin it now as stability-based. And that's ridiculous. This was a total undercut of military command. Now, the question is, you know, Than, is there the political will to do anything here? And that's going to depend on what the Democrats start saying.
Well, it's going to depend on what the Democrats are saying. Look, the questions for Speaker Pelosi are certainly fair. We know that she had repeated conversations with General Milley, even though this was not General Milley's call to make. Jay, I was thinking during the break about this, too. I mean, we know that the sitting chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, loves to get his hands on transcripts before they're out. Is he asking for this now, Jay? Where's the request from him today that these transcripts be released to his committee? I haven't heard that either.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know that, and I'd like to know where the FBI is on this, and or the CIA. I mean, boy, and you think about what he did, and obviously he had cohorts doing it with him. So they're in damage control right now, Jordan.
I would imagine so, because we in the book it's reported, you know, Pelosi was in these phone calls to reassurances. But we know the facts. We know that there was this there was a attack potential on the U.S. Capitol, and they were doing nothing about that. Nancy Pelosi. They were not asking, you know, bringing in the military for that. This was all happening. They knew a bunch of people were coming to Washington, D.C. Some were from militia-type groups that they had supposedly been tracking. This puts to that whole question of where is Washington? They were like,
yeah,
this is what they were doing. They're calling Chinese generals who could get them on boards one day instead of worrying about what was going on in our own country, which that was a very chaotic time.
So
in the United States.
Yes.
And he's worrying about placating some Chinese general?
Well, I think now
we're worried about what's happening in our own country.
I think the fact that they now admitted his calls, plural, this is their press release, his calls with the Chinese and others, I'd like to know who the others were, in October and January, in keeping with his duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability. But he doesn't have that authority. That is not his job, Wes. He's way out of his lane.
Way out of his lane. He even went down when he went to the command center at the Pentagon and asked them to commit to him that they would call him first. He even makes the statement, according to Bob Woodward, that there is a process for this and I am in that process. That is a lie. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not in the process. And to add frightening, you know, insult to injury, Nancy Pelosi, according to the book, when she called General Milley, she demanded of the general that somehow that he get the nuclear codes taken away from Donald Trump. That is asking someone to commit a coup. It really is. The president has authority. We have one president at a time, but Nancy Pelosi, of course, the general told her he couldn't do that because he can't. But here's the Speaker of the House of Representatives. You know, nuclear war could happen at any time. Hopefully it won't. We pray it won't. But she's asking a general to take the nuclear football away from the commander-in-chief. Think about that.
You know, it's interesting to me, Andy, very interesting to me that this is all happening. And now, Than, let me go to Than quickly. Than, you just sent me a note that the transcript will be out quickly, shortly.
Oh, I'm just predicting, Jay.
Oh, okay.
I just think with the nature of this and the nature of D.C. Yeah. And, Jay, the other thing I would tell you, I think Secretary Esper needs to feel some heat on this, too. Did he know about this? Yes. What did he do about it?
Yeah, okay. So let's Andy, include in the – that's a very good point. Include in the document, in the FOIA, include conversations with the Secretary of Defense and associates of the Secretary of Defense. So we're preparing a case basically live on air here. But – these are so out of the norm, Andy, and so out of the zone of what's acceptable that there has to be action taken if this is true. And evidently it's true
so that's not the entire statement. This statement's longer than what we read initially. That it's, quote, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs regularly communicates with the chiefs of defense across the world. And, of course, they decided to put in this, including with China and Russia. So now we're including Russia. Now, they always love to include Russia. But again, that's how it starts. The conversations remain vital to improving mutual understanding of U.S. national security interests, reducing tensions, la, 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 la. It was on. They're fully admitting to this. His calls with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with his duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability. The fact is, they use a lot of fancy terminology there to say everything that's being alleged here is true.
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
And he's a source to Bob Woodward.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, I need to take a look at it. And then, of course, he's a source to Bob Woodward. But evidently, there was a lot of people involved in this. But what's still not clear is, did he tell the Chinese that he was going to warn them?
Well, one part about this is interesting. The meeting regarding nuclear weapons protocols was to remind uniformed leaders in the Pentagon of the long-established and robust procedures in light of media reporting on the subject. And then it says that he continues to serve in his position. They're saying that. So then you've got this idea of uniform. That means the military leadership coming together to try and undermine the elected leader of the United States. That's how I read that, is a bunch of uniformed officers who have agreed together that they would not follow the commands of the U.S. Commander-in-Chief.
This is a frightening statement that has just come out that I'm reading. It does contain a lot of Washington double talk. But what bothers me is this statement, General Milley, and I'm reading from the press release that has just been issued, continues to act and advise within his authority in the lawful tradition of civilian control. What civilian control? He picks up the phone in the midst of a bunch of other military officers, apparently on the phone, and calls General Zi Li Jing, his counterpart in China, and tells him, if we're going to attack, and they haven't denied that, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Is that civilian control of the military?
Well, not only, it says in the lawful tradition of civilian control, in his oath to the Constitution, he continues to act and advise. He is not in that chain. Even if that were the case, General Milley is not the one who's in the chain of command on these types of decisions. Let me be clear again. He is an advisor to the president. He does not have command authority. And yet this statement implies that somehow he was acting within his command authority, which he does not have.
All right, folks, we're going to stay on this, of course, to the ACLJ. We're just preparing the action now. We're getting the statement. You know, as we've been on the air, the statement came out from Chairman Milley's press team. There's no denial here. In fact, it's an affirmation of what's in the book. So everything that we talked about earlier, saying that this is alleged, I think it's fair to say through that statement, they just affirmed it was all true.
The one thing they did not address in the statement, though, which is interesting, is the warning to China about the attack.
Kind of. I mean, they say that they do this to
encourage stability.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're talking about there. Remember, this is how this was initially spun by the Washington Post. This was the headline, the first headline. Top general was so fearful Trump might spark war that he set this up behind, worked with these Chinese officials. Now that headline has spun. So it's like what we're talking about. They thought this was going to be a positive. Oh, wow, they were doing the right thing. They were keeping things. And now it's turning on them. And I think the Washington elected officials, both parties, need to take action here. He should not be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff by 5 p.m. Eastern time today. He needs to go. Legal options that are available. It's a secondary discussion. Get them out of power in Washington.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.